For the weekly check-in with Professor Michael Narain from Brock University, talking a number of sports things. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We were talking, we're going to talk to Doug about the Canada Summer Games coming up in a little bit, but certainly took a nice little spotlight over the course of the last 2 weeks here in Niagara, it felt like, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we have a games, whether it's something like the Canada Summer Games or, you know, if some of the listeners remember the 2015 Pan Am Games in Toronto and the GTHA, including here in our region, there's a lot of hoopla leading into the games. There's a lot of even a lot of criticism and a lot of negative reaction, but it's hard to not get sucked into the environment. It's hard not to feel the atmosphere. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I chat with you or I chat with Steph or Tom, we're talking about things that are happening in the sports world. And sometimes I tend to leave out a lot of the research, but this is one time that I can definitely bring in some of the research, because some of the work that I've done alongside colleagues at the University of Waterloo have looked at the demonstration effect. And to put it bluntly, what that is when you show elite level sport, when kids see, you know, their future heroes or their current heroes, really, doing good things, winning medals, they get inspired and they want to be that going forward. We saw that effect, you know, for the 2010 Olympic Games. We even saw that in 1988 in Calgary. And if you really want to play the stretch card, 1976 in Montreal. But, you know, the effect of having the Pan Am Games in 2015 in Toronto and this region made a huge difference. And having this infrastructure, and I know you're going to talk to Doug at the 4 o'clock walk, but the infrastructure legacy of a Canada Games is phenomenal. And, you know, here in our region, as we continue to grow, I myself am a Toronto transplant. I grew up in Toronto and now I live here in the Niagara region. We want sport. We want entertainment. We want to improve our lifestyle as a community, as a society, and as a region, certainly. And so to have a beautiful building, and I'm certainly biased as a Brock professor, but, you know, the Canada Games Park, the Walker Sports and Abilities Complex, a phenomenal philanthropic investment by the Walker family and the Walker group there. But, you know, having two pads of ice, having the ability for, extra playing time, getting lacrosse back into the region and putting it forefront. You know, I think these are the little things that will inspire the next generation, but also create a higher standard of living, which, you know, again, as I allude to, it's hard going into a games because, you know, there is a logistical, downsides, Matt. You know, there's the traffic issues. There's the, what's this going to cost us and all the multi-party agreements and all these sorts of things. But, you know, looking back, you know, again, the dust has yet to settle, but, you know, this past two-week period was a beautiful celebration of our region and certainly something for our younger Niagara region citizens to look forward to for the future.
I want to double back to that conversation about getting kids involved, but we'll stay on infrastructure for a second. Because I think in a Canada Summer Games situation, like what we just saw come through here in Niagara, is much different than a Olympic Games kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Because the facilities, and I think of, you know, you brought up Canada Games Park, but I think of, you know, the work done at the Flatwater Center or at the Henley, some of the ball diamonds that got some work done on them. These are things that aren't going to be just used by the highest class athlete. They're going to be used from the smallest kids to the, you know, part-time adults. Like these are facilities that are going to be used from a whole bunch of people, to me. And that's why it's like, yeah, if you get the government to chip in on those things, all that does is go back to your point, is help the quality of life.
Well, and absolutely. And you know, like you said, it is different than an Olympic Games. And, you know, Toronto for a long period of time was looking at, you know, hosting the Olympic Games, including, you know, pretty close to getting 2008. And I'm not sure if the listeners or yourself remember this, Matt.
They should have had 2008.
They had 2008 in the bag, but then now, the late Mayor Mel Lastman of Toronto, you know, put himself into a bit of hot water with some racist remarks. But anyways, all this to say, you know, and 2008 went to Beijing, and that's a perfect example where, you know, at the Olympic Games, oftentimes you build a lot of this infrastructure, big, large capacity stadia that go unused. The World Cup of Soccer, the men's FIFA World Cup in South Africa 2010, or Brazil 2014, where, you know, a lot of those stadiums aren't being used to their full extent. And so, yeah, when you look at a more tailored, contextually specific games, the Ontario Summer Games, the Canada Summer Games. You're making improvements into the local infrastructure, and it's not just the sport play. And we're probably going to talk about this maybe in the next couple of minutes here, but sport is a vehicle. And so it's very easy to look at sport as this, pedantic, pedestrian, sports on the back pages, only blue collar folks look at sport. But sport is actually a very important facet of our lives as a society, because it connects to health and well-being, it connects to mental health, and it connects to, education. We think about physical literacy and, having gross motor skills that you then apply to other elements of your life, whether, again, you're more blue collar or white collar, or whatever the case may be. And so, having these sport facilities, and like you said, whether it's Flatwater, Henley, even the Jackfish Diamond, over here, or again, having Canada Games Park, where, again, as a Brock, citizen, I'll call myself that, our varsity hockey teams are going to be playing there instead of playing at the Hannah Seymour. Like, that's a huge result within itself when you look at other OUA programs that get to play at home or get to play and create that community-based atmosphere. So, when we talk about the sort of village that is Niagara Region, and, it's very easy for us to say that, we're very fragmented, we've got our different pocket communities. Having something like the Canada Summer Games really brought everyone together, whether you live in Thorold, whether you live in Lincoln, whether you live in Waynefleet, or parts in between, it really brought everyone together, and it's certainly something that we can celebrate. Ontario taking home the most medals, but again, the infrastructure legacy will definitely remain. And whether, you see a kid from the Niagara region become a major lacrosse player in the future, you see a young girl turn out to be, the next, gold medal swimmer for Canada, or even some of the story legacies from these games, the Nunavut wrestler who will probably wrestle for Canada at the Paris 2024 games, those are the types of legacies that will definitely live on in this region and across Canada, coast to coast to coast, for many years to come.
Yeah, and to that, to the point of the legacy, I think the legacy also will be to your going back to that demonstration effect you were talking about, is just kids being interested and involved in sports that maybe they wouldn't have been before. How many might have seen something at one of the rowing facilities? Who might have seen something on the track, the beach volleyball, and all of a sudden they're doing that. And to your point of what you're alluding, like, just being more active, being more engaged in it all. Why? Because the facilities here, they saw some people doing it on a high level, it's in their backyard, it's more accessible to them now, it's just an avenue to get them into it.
Absolutely, and I'll probably end on this point, because I'm the perfect example of the demonstration effect, Matt, where growing up, I played baseball and volleyball, and I always loved lacrosse as a sort of observer, casual observer, but I never really got into it. I didn't know how to get connected. But then I saw lacrosse later on in life, and then I picked it up, and I've had a chance to play lacrosse at the university level, for two different schools. And, that's a perfect example of, there are probably some kids, even in this region, which is one of the lacrosse hotbeds in this country, where they may not have ever seen lacrosse, particularly young girls, right? Seeing box lacrosse, and to see, Team Ontario win a gold medal, to see, themselves, maybe, a young girl who's 7, 8 years old, to see, a 15, 16-year-old, Ontario girl win a gold medal for box lacrosse and go, I love this. This is great. Particularly in this day and age, thankfully so, rightfully so, where we're starting to, kind of take the covers off, the blinders off, and say, we need to do a much better job of, reconnecting our indigeneity into our region. And, for the game, for a sport like lacrosse, which was, created by the creator, given to us by the creator in Indigenous culture, I think that is a perfect example of, hopefully not just in this region, but in other regions across Canada, they're looking at box lacrosse, they're looking at, wrestling in Nunavut, they're looking at, all these different sorts of sports, and then being inspired. And again, it's not just a sport play. It's not just, okay, well, this is just a side extracurricular. We know for lifestyle development, we know for societal development, sport is an important anchor, not just for our healthcare system, our mental health, but it's also a key anchor for all of the other skills and life skills that we'll have later on. It doesn't take a huge researcher to go up and research some of these, Bay Street CEOs and look at their sporting backgrounds and say, oh, you know what? Oh, yeah, you played high school basketball. Oh, you played university football. Oh, you played, box lacrosse for the St. Catharines Athletics. You know, there are so many different success stories in our world, Matt, where, their sport is a very important part. And so, very happy to have the games here, and I'm very happy that we've got this new infrastructure that will be able to live on for sure. Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. We'll continue talking Canada game stuff with Doug Hamilton in about an hour's time, but we wanted to touch on a couple other things. Michael Nerane joined us, assistant professor, Department of Sport Management over at Brock University. I couldn't believe it, but there's a new Madden game out, eh?
Yeah, it's... John Madden, for the listeners, probably know, unfortunately, he passed away late last year, if I'm not mistaken. But it's the 23rd edition, I suppose. Actually, there's a few Maddens before 2000. I think we're up to 26 or 27 editions of Madden now. But it's an absolute mind-boggling situation that, the not only the name John Madden, but also this one video game has, captured the entire world, really, not just North America, but really the world, where we're talking about millions and millions of copies being sold worldwide. And the new edition, Matt, is out on multiple platforms, PC, the new PlayStations and Xboxes that all the young kids like to play. I myself was able to pick it up from Electronic Arts. I have some colleagues over there who sent me an advanced copy of the game, and it pays to be a professor sometimes, but it's one of those situations where, this is where, in order to connect to the next generation, you have to get to their level, right? And so we've seen the power of things like YouTube, we've seen the power of things like, handheld apps and things like that, but, even just a console video game, the power that has to inspire the next generation. We talk about the demonstration effect in person, but even having a video game can also have that same demonstration effect. And, it can kind of, educate the masses. And I'll give you a really quick example, Matt. I've got a younger half sibling who, like the same thing, loves basketball, loves that sort of urban culture, never picked up a football in his life, never played football besides, some flag football in elementary school. And one day he said, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on Madden. I think I'm going to, pick up, a Madden game. And I was like, what? This guy's never watched a CFL game with me. He's never watched an NFL game with me. But this is the pathway that you can create. And so, you get young kids, obviously we want them to be playing sport. But then, during your downtime, it's like, I want to hang out with a group of friends and, we're just going to play, an hour of Madden here and there. Ironically, because there's a lot of parents and grandparents listening to this, there's been research, Matt, I'm doubling down on research today. There's actually some research to come out to say that esports and, playing video games is actually really great for the young attention spans of this day and age, particularly those who have ADD and ADHD, that video games can give them a sense of purpose, but some specific content to kind of focus their attention on, as opposed to being, hit with multiple different things at once. So, it's really interesting that Madden's come out, and, again, it's going to sell millions of copies worldwide, and it's a global phenomenon again, but it's just a really interesting way that, as we deviate away from the legacy of Canada Games, but, there's other ways that we can get our kids invested into sport and get them wanting to play sport. And it actually could start with playing video games first.
Well, yeah, and like the Madden brand to me is one that's like it's just incredible, because I remember you said 2000, like that. There were ones in the 90s. I remember one being for the original PlayStation or something like that, or maybe even earlier than that. I'm not sure. But all I think of is like that. That's the game to me that took so many people and went, oh, okay, you can just play video games. And to me, I don't know if there was another game that kicked off the esports, but this is the first one I remember people saying, I'm going to a Madden tournament, and it's like, you're going to a Madden tournament? Like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, we're all going to play video. What? It has gone on for this long, and it's really transformed things.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that you talk about it, Matt, yeah, I was one of those guys, back in 97, 98 that had, Madden for the Sega Genesis and things like that. And, particularly a lot of millennials, have been following along with the Madden video game trajectory. But yeah, to your point, you know, and whether it's Madden, whether it's, you know, an NHL hockey game, and I believe, you know, that release is coming out next week or shortly thereafter. Actually, it might be mid-September, rather. But the point of the story is it also gives, you know, some tidbits of information to consumer demographic that might not necessarily be invested, right? So, you know, oh, okay, well, this athlete is rated, you know, this highly. Mitch Marner is a 90. Okay, well, then they can connect that back to, well, when I watch the Maple Leafs play, oh, Mitch is definitely one of the better players on the ice, right? And so it also gives them a sense of the industry, and I know I can speak for myself on this anecdotally, but that's one of the reasons I got into the sport industry, was because I learned from video games about, you know, the different you know, stadiums that exist, Staples Center, PNC Park in Pittsburgh, you know, and now kids are going to be growing up with this new Madden legacy, you know, learning about some of the old football players from the past, Marcus Allen, you know, Brett Favre. You know, these are names that aren't too far removed from NFL lore, but for the new generation, they wouldn't see that if they just, you know, tune in on Sundays or tune in on Monday nights or Thursday nights, right? So having the video game connect back the legacy, you know, again, the other day I was playing with Warren Sapp, and you know, I was playing with Brett Favre, and I got sacked by Warren Sapp, and you know, Ray Lewis is playing middle linebacker, and so again, it can connect generations over time, and so, you know, there is a benefit to video games that sometimes people don't necessarily see. But, you know, in particular, the Madden legacy is just one that will continue to keep on trucking for sure.
When they add in all those older guys, then all you have to do is now we have to fight about whose rating is higher, Gretzky's or McDavid's and everything else. And that seems like just a giant fight, Mike, I'm telling you. before I let you go, the World Juniors wrapped up. Hockey Canada, obviously not going to be thrilled with the way that went in terms of ticket sales and everything else like that, because they're still under the microscope, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's definitely going to cause some food for thought for the IIHF and Hockey Canada. You know, the World Juniors has always seemed like this insurmountable, or not insurmountable, but this invincible, you know, sport property. And they thought, oh, you know what, because of COVID, you know, maybe we can move it to the summertime and things would go honky-dory. And, you know, obviously for that gold medal game, you know, which was thrilling, I will say that, you know, and attendance looked good, the overall tournament attendance was down. And so there's a couple lessons to be learned there, but the one lesson that you can't learn is you can't plan for a public relations fiasco. And you know, that's 20-plus years in the making for Hockey Canada. There's more and more information kind of being doled out. You know, Hockey Canada is going to be the poster child going forward for, you know, they're the ones that are going to get reprimanded the most out of all of the national sport organizations. But we have heard, Matt, just really quickly, because I know we're short on time, you know, bobsled Canada athletes are still, you know, kind of raising the flag. Gymnastics Canada athletes are still raising flags. What we're waiting on, though, is although the Minister of Sport, Pascal St-Onge, has you know, it indicated that, you know, NSOs need to kind of sign on to this new Office of the Sport Integrity Commission and Commissioner by April 2023. There's a lot of there's some big unknowns. As many of the listeners might know, you know, if you build a house, it's a very legal process. It's not fun, right? It's all about the legalese. And that's essentially what's going on right now with a lot of the organizations and the government. They're trying to figure out the insurance, who pays for what, when this situation happens, where does it go, how does it work? And if you just sign the dotted line and you don't really know what's going on, just like if you sign on building for a house and you don't really know what's happening, you could get a jalopy, right? So it's the same thing here with the sport organizations. They're trying to figure it out. They've got their legal teams. The government's got their legal side. They're working together to dot the I's and cross the T's. But you should fully expect to see a really brand new framework roll out for that April 2023. So Hockey Canada definitely under scrutiny. It's going to continue to blow up in their face, but they should have their ducks in a row by April of next year, which seems like a long period away, but in the sport world is actually really close.
Yeah, really cool. Well, now I'm now curious to see what the World Juniors look like in terms of people paying attention to it come December, because I was talking to people who are diehard hockey fans who said, out of principle, I'm not watching this summer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't anticipate that. So
yeah, and again, just really quickly, because I know we're short, you know, I do think that part of it also was it's summertime and people are more enthralled with, you know, are the Jays going to win a game, please and thank you, and are they going to make the playoffs? And, you know, obviously we've got the CFL and then Canada Games. Like, there was a bunch of different things going on, and you know, hockey in the summer is tough. And as much as, you know, Canadians, and particularly those in the hockey industry, want to make hockey 365, 24/7, like the NFL in the States, You know, I just don't think when you add that plus the Hockey Canada fiasco with the sexual assault, alleged sexual assault, and you know, confirmed sexual assault, it seems, it's a recipe for disaster. So it'll be really interesting to see what, you know, this season's World Junior looks like. But like you said, it's a black eye for the World Juniors to try to do a summer tournament and have it blow up in their face. And you know, Hockey Canada is not looking so good these days. So we'll see what happens this fall.
They're looking like the CFL's East Division, but anyway, we'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
Mike, I appreciate the chat today. Thanks.
No, anytime. Take care.
Take care. There is Professor Michael Noreen out of Brock University's Department of Sport Management.